T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
He got game! He got game! He get better and better!
He got
better! He got
BB!
He
got
BB!
Bro, BB! NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Deion Miller in for Mully today, and we are pleased, as always, every Tuesday at 840 to welcome in Mike Florio, who joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram hotline. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
How are you today?
Good.
Doing well. A lot going on. Bears report on Thursday. The Bears brass met the media on Sunday down in Decatur as part of their 100-year celebration, Mike. But I want to go back to last week. I know you've had a lot of conversation and maybe some consternation about this, but the Tyreek Hill issue continues to baffle people. Maybe not. Maybe everyone sort of expected the NFL to do what they did, which was nothing, and they decided not to suspend Tyreek Hill. Now we find out yesterday the DA, the local DA in Johnson County over in Kansas City, denied the NFL's information request, so the open records were sealed and they were not able to get all the evidence. How does that change the narrative for you, if it does, and what was your initial reaction to the news?
Well, my initial reaction was that it seems like the NFL has tried to soften its approach when it comes to players who haven't been arrested or charged, and not look for ways to suspend players and find reasons to keep great players off the field. We saw an unexpected drop in ratings in 2017. We kind of expected it in 2016 once the presidential campaign ramped up. But in 2017, I think the NFL was left reeling. And when you throw on top of it the Ezekiel Elliott 6-game suspension, the reaction to that by Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, he made a run at getting Roger Goodell not just denied a new contract but flat out fired. I think that the pendulum started to go the other way, and they've been more judicious when it comes to not concocting reasons to suspend guys. But then you throw on top of it the reality that the NFL, in its effort to have its own in-house criminal justice system, has serious limitations on what it can and can't consider, because it has no power to force anyone to turn over information who isn't connected to the NFL. And, you know, one of the prime differences, Jerron Reed of the Seahawks gets suspended 6 games on Monday.
Yep.
And the alleged victim in his case cooperated. In Hill's case, they weren't able to get cooperation. Crystal Espinal, the mother of the boy, repeatedly refused to talk to the NFL, and they can't make her. And that's the fundamental problem. That goes back to the Ray Rice situation, where they claimed they couldn't get the videotape. And we saw that with Kareem Hunt. They couldn't get the videotape. They want to be this investigative body, but they have no teeth. So maybe they need to revisit whether or not they should just get out of that business.
Mike, I'm so glad to be talking to you. I'm a big fan of your work. But I'm going to bring it back locally here to Chicago. On Sunday, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy both talked about the kicker situation, which has been somewhat of a nauseating topic over the offseason, but necessary one nonetheless. They said they're going to be scouring the waiver wires for kickers that might be available. Who do you think they could dig up?
Well, you know, it all depends upon who makes the kicks and who doesn't make the kicks during training camp in the preseason. And I think the problem with saying that, now, first of all, everybody knew they were going to do that, so it's not like it really hurts them strategically, but because there's no longer a two-step process of cutting the rosters from 90 to 53, it's all done on the Saturday of Labor Day weekend, they're really not going to have much time if teams decide to squat on those guys as long as possible and maybe try to flip the guy who loses a kicking competition to the Bears for a conditional sixth-round pick or a seventh-round pick or something like that. And if teams wait until that absolute deadline of Saturday, August 30th, and given that the Bears are playing that following Thursday, there's going to be a lot that needs to happen quickly to get a guy ready, to get a guy evaluated, to get a guy in, to get a guy in uniform, and then to get a guy on the field that Thursday night when everyone is going to be watching whether or not the first of possibly many kickers for the Bears, once the regular season begins, can get it done and make the kick. So, you know, this is a tough situation. Now, you can look at it and say, if this is the biggest problem a football team has, it's not, you know, it's not really all that bad because kickers are pretty much anywhere and everywhere. They've just got this weird vibe now where they can't find anybody who can who can get it done. And it feels like something that should be fixed in one fell swoop, but it just feels like it continues to perpetuate itself. And they just need to get somebody in there that's got the mental toughness who can make the kick. There's a lot of guys who can make the kicks. The Bears just currently don't have one.
Mike, I'm going to ask you about Eric Berry, even though I don't like the idea of him in Chicago, but I think I feel compelled to because his name has come up, and also because you look around the league and J.J. Wilcox, safety for the Falcons, is out for the season yesterday after tearing his ACL. Ha-ha, Clinton Dix will start the season and preseason for the Bears on the PUP list. So naturally, when you have a guy with Eric Berry's experience and still unsigned, people will speculate. I don't think he's been very durable the last couple of years. There's been a lot of reasons for that that are understandable. But where is he and why is he still unsigned? Is he an option at places that need safety?
Well, he tore his Achilles tendon week one of the 2017 season, and he really hasn't been healthy since then. And it's not a surprise the Chiefs moved on because of what he was due to make this year. And it may just be that it takes Eric Berry some time to process that phase of his career is over, that the high-dollar contracts aren't going to come his way, and that he's just going to have to be patient. It could be that from his perspective, why am I going to rush and take the veteran minimum and have to do a bunch of stuff I don't feel like doing, like the off-season program, training camp, and the preseason. And also, one of the things we hear this time of year is that, you know, guys who have four more years of service, if they're on the week one roster, their salary's guaranteed for the year. So a lot of times they'll wait until after week one. Then you hear that, and then week one comes and goes, and those guys end up getting ignored. So I never know how big of an issue that is. But there's a lot of factors with Eric Berry: age, contract, injury. And I think he just wants, at this point, more than anyone is willing to give, so he's content to just sit and wait and see what happens.
Vic Fangio's made news because he decided to turn off the music at Broncos practices, which, stunner, I guess he didn't enjoy his time in Club Dub here in Chicago. but how is that going over with the players? Are they just kind of rolling with it? I mean, because it is starkly quiet then if it's not blasting through the speakers.
Yeah, I mean, look, one of the reasons why coaches do it is because the players want it, and they think that noise and that inherent distraction. I mean, when you're trying to play football, there are a lot of distractions. There's a lot of noise. You've got a guy across from you that's trying to do the exact opposite of what you're trying to do. And, you know, different coaches have decided that there are merits to it, but when Vic Fangio weighs it all out, he wants to be able to talk to his team, and he doesn't want to have to shout over the music. And, you know, if it works, it works. There's a lot of players in Denver who praise this guy, and there's a belief that they haven't had leadership there since Peyton Manning retired. The coaching staff has just not gotten it done the past three seasons. And I don't know the quality of players in Denver, but it seems like every other day or every day you've got somebody on that roster who's just raving about what Vic Fangio brings. So when you have that kind of faith in a guy, the players tend to look the other way when he imposes rules that they may disagree with.
You know, Mike, you look at the Giants, and Daniel Jones agrees to terms, and certainly he looks like he'll get to camp on time, and he'll be scrutinized like probably no other rookie quarterback in the league. When you look around the league and you look at Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, Haskins, Drew Locke, who gets into camp with the Broncos a little better late than never, but I think he was just a little bit late. Who's got the most realistic shot of starting at day one? Is it Kyler Murray? Does that go without saying, or is there somebody else like Jones who might emerge?
No, I think it's definitely Kyler Murray. I think it'll be a major upset if he doesn't start right away. Now, I know that Brett Hundley, the backup there, has talked as if he's got a realistic shot at competing, but they went all in with Kyler Murray for a reason. They threw Josh Rosen overboard for a reason, and Murray is going to run Cliff Kingsbury's offense, and like I said, it would be a major upset that Murray doesn't start week one. With Jones, I still think that if the guy performs at a level that shows that he was worthy of the sixth overall pick in the draft, and if Eli Manning performs at the level that, you know, has caused the Giants to use the sixth overall pick in the draft on a rookie, Jones should have a chance. You can say, well, we're sticking with Eli Manning, but if Jones really does outperform Manning and the locker room knows it, you kind of have no choice if you want to win football games, to go with the better guy. And I think the opportunity is there. I don't think the Giants want to put that pressure on Jones, but I think the opportunity is there if Jones comes out and really does perform the way that they believe that he's going to perform. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made it in that sixth pick.
Mike, I'm not shy about the fact that I am a born and raised Cleveland Browns fan, so I am actually very excited about the season differently than I have been in the past. But Odell Beckham Jr. just did that article with GQ talking about how disrespected he felt with the Giants, and he's never been happier than he is right now. What are the Browns getting here? I mean, are he and Baker Mayfield going to be able to really bring some magic to that Cleveland team?
Well, they're getting a receiver who's one of the best talents in the NFL at the position, but he is a very enigmatic guy, and you know he contradicts himself in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. and he still has yet to realize, even at age 27 or close to it, that when you are a magnet for attention, not all the attention you get is going to be attention that you like, and I think he likes the attention on his own terms, and there's a lot of star athletes like that who want everyone to look at them but want to reserve the right to say, what the hell are you looking at? And I feel like that stew of conflicting emotions is still rattling around Odell Beckham Jr., but he's a great player when he's healthy. He's missed plenty of games during his 5 years in the NFL. Baker Mayfield, I think, has the potential to be one of the very best quarterbacks in the NFL. I just want to see how this team handles adversity, because I think adversity could arrive week one, because I suspect plenty of Browns fans are already checking the box for a win over the Tennessee Titans, and the Tennessee Titans under Mike Vrabel have shown they can beat anyone. And 0-1, oh boy, that's going to feel different than 0-1 has felt in every other year in Cleveland mm-hmm. since the Browns returned in 1999. So I think there's reason for optimism. I just want to see how this team, under Freddie Kitchens, the guy who a year ago we never would have dreamed would be an NFL head coach, how do they handle that adversity, because adversity is inevitable.
Mike, before we let you go, I wrote in today's Tribune about the Bears' ability and I think need to return with some sort of edge, to fight the complacency that can be as big of an opponent as the biggest rival sometimes for teams that have success, especially on this defense, which returns with most of its starters intact. They have a new defensive coordinator in Chuck Pagano. He replaces Vic Fangio, who we mentioned. I think sometimes it's easier said than done when Matt Nagy talks about fighting complacency. Human nature creeps in. They spent the entire offseason hearing in Chicago here how great they were. And in 12-4 that season, they led the league in smiles and laughs. But you know what? Things have changed now. So if you're Chuck Pagano and you're facing your defense for the first time at training camp, when it gets real on Thursday night, what is the message and how important is it for the Bears to set a tone this early?
Well, I think that what they need to do is remember how hard it was week in and week out to win those 12 games. And that's that human nature. And you're right on the money. It's hard to remember the fight. You remember how good it feels at the end, but you forget how hard it is to get there. And if you lose games early, and you know, if the Bears rebounded from significant adversity week one a year ago with the loss to the Packers on the opening Sunday night of the season, but if you start losing games early and people start wondering, is this team still any good, and then there's other teams that are rising up, we see that every year. It's why there's 50% turnover on average with the playoff teams, because it's hard to duplicate that great season, and you have to find a way to get your guys to rise up and not accept any type of complacency. And, you know, Chuck Pagano was very good as a defensive assistant coach, good enough to become a head coach in Indianapolis. And a lot of people think that in Indianapolis it wasn't his fault. It was Ryan Grigson's fault that the team wasn't as good as it needed to be. So you just and it's easier said than done, but you just need to get these guys to understand that last year does not matter. The master of that is Bill Belichick. Whatever happened last year, good, bad, or otherwise, heartbreaking or raise the Lombardi, they're able to turn the page, not just turn the page, they're able to slam the book shut, throw it away, and pick up a new book. And, you know, if it was easy, more teams would do it. That's going to be the challenge for the Bears.
Great stuff, Mike. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk with his insights on the league.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.